You're listening to Take Care, a health and wellness show from WRVO Public Media. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper. We're moving on now to addressing and fixing issues in our healthcare system with an assistant professor of pulmonary and critical care medicine at the University of Washington.
Dr. Vin Gupta joined us with his thoughts, some of which he details in a New York Times opinion piece titled "Fix Our Healthcare System, Don't Try to Make It Perfect." Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, before we get into how we might be able to fix our healthcare system, I know you could probably spend an entire interview talking about this, but can you talk a little bit about why our healthcare system is broken?
That's a difficult question to answer in just a few minutes. But what I'd like to focus on in what is a really complicated question is quality of care. We talk a lot about coverage. Our political debate is so focused on how many people are covered, how many people are uninsured, how can we best fix that equation. We don't talk enough about quality of care and what we can actually do to improve the patient experience and, in doing so, hopefully minimize the number of times they need to come, for example, and see me in pulmonary clinic. How do we actually do that? We'll talk about quality as well. Our political candidates will talk about that. What does it mean? And I think the lack of nuance when it comes to the quality debate in our healthcare system is problematic, and to me is an area that we can actually readily improve on right now, given existing innovations, given the fact that these issues really are not partisan issues. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, improving quality of healthcare in the United States has nothing to do with philosophies on the role of government in healthcare, like coverage does. To me, I think that's the big issue that could be remedied more quickly and is what I focus on a lot in my day job.
I'm wondering how it is we actually got to this point, because you've written that some of the policies that are being pushed by some of the Democratic presidential candidates now and by former President Obama with Obamacare, they're similar to policies that were pushed by President Nixon back in the 1970s. So can you talk a little bit about how President Nixon tried to reform healthcare?
It's a great question. I think it's something that we don't talk enough about is how much our politics has shifted in just 40 years, such that President Nixon advanced what we now call Nixon Care, which was a liberal version of the Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare. By that, I mean, for example, there's a lot of pushback on Medicaid expansion at the state level. 13 states still have not agreed to expand Medicaid, even though it's largely a federally funded program to the tune of 90%. So a lot of states are saying no to federal money, to federal taxpayer money. Under Nixon Care, there was no yes or no. You took the money. It was 100% federally subsidized. That's a drastic difference in 40 years between what a conservative president was trying to push forward versus what a centrist Democrat ultimately was able to pass through both houses of Congress and then obviously through the executive. In 40 years, we saw a shift in just the nature of our politics, what centrism in healthcare really means. And I think it means something very different today than it did during the era of President Nixon, which is to say that we're never going to reconcile this debate on coverage, I think, in my lifetime. I'd venture a guess that in anyone who is listening to this in your lifetime, we're not going to reconcile the coverage debate. We're just going to keep having it. And so we have to think about different ways to tackle our healthcare crisis, and one of which is quality.
One of the things that you've written a bit about is politicians should stop striving for perfection and just go for small changes. Why do you think it is that politicians, whether it's Congress or presidential candidates, why is perfection the goal rather than these small incremental changes that can add up to big healthcare reform?
You've nailed the crisis of our democracy, or at least our communication on healthcare, with that question. And I'm going to start touching on things that are not directly in my wheelhouse here. But in my view, our politics when it comes to healthcare and more broadly has devolved into how do you get the most likes on Twitter? How do you get the most donors to give you a few dollars on an online platform? Which is to say, how can you be provocative versus how can you be substantive? In my view, candidates that are pushing forward policies that talk about Medicare for all, you know, listen, I have a military background. I'm a public health physician. There is nobody who deals with the realities of unaffordable healthcare coverage for patients, lack of access, more than I do. I see the realities of that day to day. It's not just a political talking point. But if you tell me We have a slate of Democratic candidates who are running on Medicare for All, you know, the vast majority. They're pushing forward a policy proposal that maybe has 100 votes in the House. The Democratic Party controls the House. And we're saying we're going to line up, or they're saying they're going to line up for a proposal that maybe is getting 100 votes, if that. So in effect, they're saying we're okay with an action, that in January of 2021, we are going to tolerate an action if that means we get to advocate on a platform that meets some other end goal that is not change. And so that's why I value candidates and people who put forward substantive, pragmatic platforms that have a chance of passing both houses of Congress, that have a chance of bringing about incremental change, even if that's fundamentally not sexy or not as provocative on our social media platforms.
In your opinion, and when I ask your opinion of this as a doctor, and I don't want you to endorse any of the candidates, but in your view, do any of the Democratic candidates out there right now have a proposal that is seen by you and the medical community as something that would be acceptable and has a chance of passing in a Democratic-led House?
I think former Vice President Joe Biden has been a leader on wanting to improve on what's already been great progress. So the Affordable Care Act, I think, whether you're a Republican or a centrist Democrat, whether you're progressive left or far right, hopefully we can just look at the facts. I know it's hard to do that in this current climate, but hopefully we can look at the facts of the Affordable Care Act and say broadly that there has been incremental improvement. 27 million people have health insurance that previously didn't prior to 2010. Premiums in some cases have come down. Obviously, there are challenges. It's not a perfect law. We need improvement. I think the former VP and his policies that are focused on improving the Affordable Care Act and bringing about incremental change when it comes to making or broadening access to Medicare, expanding Medicaid to states that have yet to do so premium free, that's a very progressive platform. And I think it's touching the boundaries of what is probably unlikely to pass both houses of Congress. But it's also the most centrist platform that any of the Democratic candidates have put forward. And so all of us in the medical community, at least my colleagues, we want change that is likely to pass. And I think the former VP is most proximal to that space of promise, potential, but pragmatism.
You talked about quality of care, and you've talked about what some of the Democratic presidential candidates are proposing in terms of helping to fix our healthcare system. But I'd like to know, what are some of the things that you think can and should be done to bring down the cost of healthcare in the United States? It's tens of trillions of dollars that's been spent on healthcare, but you think it could be done better. What are some of the ways that you think that healthcare could be done with less money?
That's a great question. It's something that does not, especially in the United States, when there's a very complicated mix of stakeholders in our healthcare system, so much so that people always ask me, well, why can't we do what Switzerland or what Canada does? And transposing the business side of healthcare that is unique to the Canadians or the Swiss to the United States is impossible. Well, what they're doing, we cannot necessarily do one-to-one. We can't just transpose their system to ours. So how do we work within the realities that exist right now, recognizing that we have a political system that's in crisis, that there are structural challenges that minimize our ability to bring about revolution? I'd like to focus on three areas, and I've written about this recently, one of which is, why are we not, unlike our peer countries, i.e. the United Kingdom, why are we not leaders in fostering innovation in healthcare delivery? And by that, I mean, so many innovations are happening as we speak, as developed by our American technology companies in the space of digital health. And whether that means telemedicine delivery and reimbursing providers that use telemedicine type interventions to make it easier for patients to access subspecialty care, whether that's how do we actually use the technology that's already in our hands. I won't endorse a specific product, but for example, I wear the Apple Watch, or if you wear a different type of smart device that monitors your physical activity, how do we actually utilize that really nuanced information that provides data points over months, if not years, to improve the quality of care of a patient with a pre-existing condition? Right now, we have no idea how to actually operationalize and utilize that information. And that is an opportunity lost. The United Kingdom has already developed a six-point plan that's being put into place by the NHS, but has been discussed at very high levels of parliament. We don't have any of those debates here in the United States, much less any candidate talking about digital health, which has the potential to revolutionize how we think about healthcare, how we interface with our physician. And then lastly, I'll say that there are a lot of different ways that people are thinking about innovations in primary healthcare. Direct primary care is an example of trying to actually root out the middleman, which is the insurance company, and just having clients interact with their physicians, pay a set fee, get a basket of services, and make that interaction simpler and, frankly, more affordable. And studies have shown that these innovative models of primary care delivery can improve patients' quality of life and decrease attendant costs. So we are not having the debates that we should be having in Congress amongst our elected leaders. We keep recycling the same talking points on coverage, and we're not talking about innovation, which America should be a leader on, because all that innovation is primarily happening here. We're not talking about different ways to deliver care at the primary care level. And I will say one last thing. End-of-life care, 30% of Medicare costs occur at the end of life, in the last 3 weeks of life. We talk a lot more now about end-of-life planning, end-of-life care, broadening access to palliative care services and what have you. There's a difference between where our rhetoric is and where our intentions are and what is actual reality. Most places that have palliative care services, that intervention doesn't happen until it's too late. Almost 40% of American hospitals still lack palliative care services. It's a huge opportunity missed to have people have the type of end-of-life care and planning that they really want so that they don't necessarily have to die in an ICU or in a hospital, but surrounded by family at home.
You've already mentioned when or when we won't see this type of healthcare reform in our country, but realistically speaking, what do you think it is going to take before we have major healthcare reform in the United States?
The way we are going right now in our current debate and our current crisis, I think what it's going to take is structural political reform, which it has perhaps nothing directly to do with actually the healthcare crisis, but I think we as a country need to think about the reason why we can't have platforms in our healthcare system similar to what the Canadians or what the Swiss do is because we have structural obstacles in our political system that prevent our elected leaders from taking bold, courageous stances on things like Medicare for All. I wish we had more than 100 votes in the House for something like Medicare for All, because I actually think it would ultimately end up saving costs and broadening access to care for all of our patients. We just don't have the incentives for our elected leaders to take those types of courageous stances right now. So money out of politics, term limits, full structural reform of our political system so that we actually get ideas and merit permeating our elected leaders, not lobbying and vested interests.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.